The Naked and Famous auf Flux FM am Dienstagnachmittag mit ihrem ersten Riesenhit Young Blood. The Naked and Famous aus Neuseeland. Die haben ihren Bandnamen übrigens hier geklaut. Das ist der Song, den Naked and Famous hörten irgendwann 2010 und aus dem Song haben sie sich die Zeile von Tricky geklaut für den Bandnamen Naked and Famous. Heute spielt die Band am Abend im Columbia Theater. Schon jetzt sind zwei Menschen aus der Kapelle bei mir und wir quatschen nochmal über den Erfinder des Bandnamens, Adrian Thaws, better known as Tricky. Wir sprechen über die Aufnahmen zum neuen Album, die trotz der Trennung von Tom und Elisa funktionierten. Wir finden raus, wie es derzeit in L.A. so ist, denn dort leben beide noch und wir bequatschen noch vieles, vieles mehr. Zunächst sage ich mal hello and welcome, Tom and Elisa.
Hi.
Hi. How are you doing today?
Good.
Good. Chilling.
Chilling, like Bob Dylan. Where are you coming from?
Hi, we were just in Hamburg last night.
Oh, nice.
Night. Yeah.
Played a show there, everything went well?
Yeah, everything went well. We play at this venue. I can't pronounce the German word, but it's we know it as the Bunker.
Yes.
Yes.
It's close. Bunker, you say Bunker. Instead of bunker in German, but it's the same word. It means the same.
Mm-hmm. Cool. You know? Oh, okay. Yeah. Well,
that's
there you go.
Very convenient as well because the bottom floor is a music store for instruments.
Oh, right.
So I went and got some very unique capos.
Oh, wow.
Very exciting.
What's unique about the capo from Hamburg?
This is only going to be interesting to anyone who plays guitar and anyone who plays guitar who also likes capos. Yeah. So a very, very small target audience here, but... the ones I got only cover half the strings.
Okay. And that makes sense?
To the very small amount of people who enjoy playing guitar.
Okay.
And the very even smaller... No,
he's like, I'm over it.
Next.
Congratulations on your new album, Simple Forms. It's been out for a few weeks now, a few months, actually.
Correct.
And it's been recorded, although you guys had broken up before, you were a couple in the time before, and then you broken up, and you decided, though, to stay together as a band and record that album. Congratulations on that as well.
Thank you very much.
And I was thinking, maybe making music together is a good way of, or is it something that you can do while breaking up? You know what I'm saying? if you had a factory for something physical that you just produce, you'd probably be like, come on, you keep the production running, I'll be off and I'll do vacation. But music has a therapeutical aspect to it. And I was thinking maybe making an album together is the healthiest way of breaking up from them all. What would you say?
You know what? I think it is... it's a very interesting analogy and it's great. No, it's great. I would say, though, that it's more like keeping a family together.
Okay.
It's closer to the obligations that you would feel perhaps having children and a family if you decided to get divorced. It's not like you can throw away the family. You know, the dynamics have to change and you have to adjust and it's not easy. But those are your options. You can either run away from your family, which is a devastating and kind of an empty and difficult thing to do, or you can just try and make whatever is left work.
Yeah.
And that's what we do.
But I think it's important that it's been creative work that you had to work on together after.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. Oddly, the when people hear about what we've decided to do, they never consider the idea of not giving it up, because I think when people do split up in general in relationships in life, you know, the idea is just run away, you know, like leave everything behind, which is, it's kind of interesting when you start thinking about it. That's a very, very poor way of dealing with stuff.
Yeah, it's not grown up really, right?
No, I mean, it's like, it'd be like if you just, I don't know, you left home and then all of a sudden you decided never to speak to your mother and father again. You know, it's an odd thing to do. So, so here we are.
Yeah, it's nice. And I really want to thank you for keeping stuff together, you know,
keeping the
shit together. What's what I want to say. Keeping shit together. Although there's been personal things happening in the back, and I really think it's a great idea. And I really think it's good for everyone. It's good for you as an ex-couple, you know, that you've kind of... Because I feel that there's topics on the record that kind of like come from that thing. And I think it's, as I said, there's a therapeutical value to music. And you've helped us all. Thank you for that.
Thank you very much.
The single Higher, we're going to listen to it in an acoustic version in a few moments. I've read that it's been written for the last album, for Enrolling Waves already.
Yeah.
What was the reason for you to keep it? Did you keep it in the back and be like, this is the huge hit for album number 3. Let's keep it for now.
that's surprisingly common for a lot of musicians to hang on to songs, yeah, to not let them go. And sometimes a song just it needs the right day to be tackled.
Okay.
You know, to be recorded and
like you put it in a shell like a bottle of good red wine, hope that it's going to get better
exactly,
over time.
Exactly, exactly. But it's more like a nagging voice in the back of your head.
Okay.
That says, finish me, finish me, finish me.
Uh-huh.
And we tried to finish it. And originally I was singing the lead and it wasn't particularly exciting. And I got the production pretty bad. You know, it was pretty poorly produced. But something about the lyrical content was very strong. And I accidentally rewrote it a certain way and it worked, and then Elisa obviously singing it just worked out for the better. And we reproduced it actually with a friend of ours called Brad Hale. He's from another band that we've toured with before called Now.
Uh-huh.
And he helped me produce it, and then the band helped produce it as well. Big team effort fixing that one.
Cool. We all patched things together and rewrote certain sections, and yeah,
it's good. It's interesting because so many bands that I talk about, they're like, yeah, if a certain song, if it doesn't click in a certain amount of time, we'll probably stop working on it and try something new. But I mean, in this case, it was a good idea to keep working on it.
Exactly.
I mean, yeah, we did stop working on it and like put it away for a while, and then we came back to it with fresh perspective.
Sounds good to
and
me.
And we didn't.
But I know what you're saying. Like there is a mentality that some musicians have, which is if it doesn't work, just let it go,
yeah,
and move on. Which is really interesting because I've only just really come to understand and appreciate the value in that. I'm the opposite.
Yeah,
you
want to make everything work.
I'm an anxious person, so I want to hold on to my best ideas,
yeah,
and I have this feeling of, oh God, I'll never write another good song again. You know, like,
yeah,
so every effort is something worth hanging on to. And I've met both kinds of musicians, and it's funny which ones fall into which category. You'd be surprised. You know, some of the real organic kind of sounding artists,
yeah,
are the really neurotic ones,
yeah,
just like me. You hang on to everything. I mean, what was that Radiohead song off the latest album, True Love Waits?
Uh-huh.
They've been playing that live, and it's never been recorded for over 10 years or something like that. You know, they finally got it right.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah.
That's right. I mean, I was just thinking of Frank Zappa or people like that in the back of my head who kind of like took care of every single note for weeks and months before they recorded a song. And it's probably two ways to get to a good sounding song or to a good sounding result. You know, it's not that easy. I mean, otherwise everybody would just write fast songs and have instant hits.
Right. Yeah,
exactly. It's not that easy, obviously. Let's listen to a song that made you keep going. It's called Falling. I think it was the first song when you realized, wow, I think third record is going to happen and we're going to keep going. And this is the song that made you keep going. The Naked and Famous mit Falling auf Flux FM. Wir quatschen gleich noch ein bisschen weiter, verlosen Tickets für die Show heute Abend und hören auch noch eine Akustikversion von Higher. Am Dienstagnachmittag heute Abend spielt die Band im Columbia Theater und stellt dort nochmal Songs von der dritten Platte Simple Forms vor. Elisa und Tom, die Erfinder der Band. Die Erfinderin und der Erfinder der Band, sie sind immer noch bei mir im Studio. Hi again.
Hi.
You guys have met studying music, and that's when the idea for the band started. And as soon as you had the idea, you quit school, right? You dropped out of music school. How important was that move for the history of the band? Because I think there's advantages to having a theoretical background and to be a trained musician to the top, you know, but maybe one loses one's gut feeling or something like that. How do you say?
To be completely honest, I had to drop out because I couldn't afford to pay my rent and I had to go get a job.
That's a good reason.
It would have been really nice to have completed my studies, but life just happened and it got in the way, and you have to do these kinds of things like pay the rent, otherwise you'll be living on the streets.
Tom, and what about you? You were dropping out for the same reasons?
I was the first to go. I think I pressured Elisa into leaving as well. Because
at your bank account, Elisa.
I tried to manage it as well as I could, doing part-time studies and part-time working and all that stuff, but just got far too stressful and unmanageable. So the last thing I ever did, I think I lasted 6 months, and the last thing I did at the music school, we did this recital and I had to play 3 songs, and I left playing a PJ Harvey song, which was pretty empowering.
That was your goodbye.
That was my goodbye.
And you guys have moved to LA a few years ago. You still live there?
We do, yeah.
It must be a crazy time to still
be in America.
Yeah, I mean, isn't it? I've read about you looking at yourself right now as an American band, kind of, because you've lived there for a while and you tour from there.
Yes, and our lives are based there, and all of our, our friends now are there, and our social group is there, and we have put effort since, 2012 was the year we decided to settle down there. Yeah. And so since then, we've been living in America and participating in, the American dream.
I mean, LA, it seems to be a nice place to make music, because so many, successful bands from Sweden or something, they'd be like, for our new recording session, we'll go to LA. We've got a few friends there. There's many studios.
It has that kind of, I guess, a similar thing to, what Berlin had back in the day, when it was the cool place for bands to go and record. And Los Angeles has really become that. I saw some article a couple of years ago about how kids now, or young artists and whatnot, are moving from New York to Los Angeles. It's becoming a place to be because it's cheaper to live. Yeah. And it does have that vibe. It does really have that vibe. It's a place to be working on music.
Then I know, because one reads about that a lot, that the vibe definitely is changing in the more rural areas of the United States, that if you're not an American person, people will probably shout at you for no other reason than that and be like, we'll go back to where you're coming from.
I guess.
Has the vibe changed in LA as well, or are the big cities kind of like immune to Donald Trump's policies?
California is
a blue state. It's called blue
state. It's a blue state, and the mayor of California, he just did this incredible speech where he said there is no discrimination. Something like, there will be no discrimination. All people of all races, all religions are welcome here, and we live in a liberal state, so I don't personally experience any of that kind of prejudice or racism that you were reading about in the newspaper, which I'm very thankful for.
Mm-hmm. The coasts are effectively blue state, so they, we're not exposed to that stuff. The only times we get to see those parts of America when we tour, but we're going to a venue and we're staying there for an entire day and we're not really leaving, and we get to see our fans, and that's about it. So I wouldn't say that we have any real firsthand experience with it, but we would probably be about as experienced as you would reading it in the news or online. And so it does feel very removed from, and I saw the other day, people are reposting articles about California, like, leaving the States, becoming its own independent country. And honestly, living there, it just seems like, why not?
I can imagine living there, Weed's been legalized, there's a beach.
Yeah,
there's many places to make music at.
It's a liberal place,
if you're into that thing.
But I really hope for you guys and for the city of LA that it's going to stay like that, and that the influence of Donald Trump's policies are not going to be, feelable.
I don't think so. I mean, we went to the Women's March protests downtown
Los
Angeles.
Thank you for going there for us. Thank
you're welcome.
Really?
And it was like something, the number was crazy. It was something
like 800,
700,000 people down there. And
there were about 2 million in Washington, D.C.
Yes.
So, I don't know.
Yeah, liberal states are going to put up a fight.
There's protests for everything right now.
Yeah, and the lawmakers and the liberal lawyers and everybody's acting up right now, and they'll be like, I'm sorry, it's what you're thinking of is illegal. Can't do it. So the checks and balances thing is hopefully going to work. But I just wanted to ask, I want you to have a nice home,
saying? What if we were like, no, actually, we can't.
Yeah, then I would tell you to come move here to Berlin. It's still an option.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But anyhow, you've brought your acoustic guitar, Tom. And Elisa has warmed up her beautiful voice, so we'll be able to listen to a live version of Higher, the song previously mentioned. Let me just start the recording device here. Now, it's done. As soon as you're ready, Tom.
Sure. Lisa?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Have great fun at tonight's show. And I'll see you soon. Maybe you're going to come back for the festival summer or something like that. I don't know if you have plans.
We would love to. Not at this moment, but hey, help us come back.
Yeah.
I'll help you.
Thank you.
Thank you guys for visiting. As I said, great fun at tonight's show. Und wer vorbeikommen möchte im Columbia Theater, der kann jetzt anrufen unter der 030 2000 9000 Berlin 2000 9000. Das ist die Nummer zum Glück, wenn wer durchkommt. Der steht auf der Gästeliste für The Naked and Famous heute Abend im Columbia Theater. Bye bye.
Thanks, Platz.
Kolossale Musik. Krasse.